Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Welcome to Hour 2 of the show. I do hope you're enjoying our coverage. We try to get into a lot of topics that are Australian-oriented, but we also get into topics that are of extreme importance for humanity. And in the second hour of today's show, I actually have a guest on for the whole hour. His name's Luke McKee. And Luke is coming to us from Vietnam, and as he describes it, he's somewhat in exile from this country, having come up against a number of different forms of discrimination. And it's a rather complex story that Luke has to tell, but one of the things that Luke asked me to emphasise in this interview is that he has been working to deal with what he believes is discrimination against heterosexual people. And I don't quite know how or why that has been taking place, but I do believe it is at the hands of the police. Luke McKee, welcome to Truth News Radio.
Glad to be on your show. How are you there?
I am terrific. Luke, you know, we've been corresponding a fair bit, and you've told me quite a few stories, quite a few harrowing stories that you've had. Why don't you just pick it up with the most recent thread that we were talking about, which was the discrimination against heterosexual people?
Okay, well, if anyone goes to the Anti-Discrimination Board of New South Wales website and look at grounds for exemptions from anti-defamation law,
yep.
It says it's lawful to discriminate against someone who is not gay for any reason. And that comes from the word heterosexual being absent from the act. And I first heard the word lawful discrimination, such as the form of lawful discrimination that was done to blacks in the apartheid era in South Africa.
Really?
From the Anti-Discrimination Board myself, because I had lodged a complaint, and I held off lodging the complaint right after it happened because I was told that the information in my complaint would be given to the police, who at the time were, they did unsuccessfully attempt to prosecute me, and I have no criminal record to this day, according to the Australian Federal Police. But since I've been overseas for exposing police corruption, they do intend to extradite me. And those listeners who are trying to get more of a background on this case than what they can obtain in our hour, I have done some other interesting media interviews, and Sydney's only CBD broadcast gay radio program, The Queer Noise, when it was on with Stephen Pickels, said he supports my cause for equality.
Can I just interject for a moment, Luke? I just was slightly taken aback when you said lawful discrimination, and I'm still trying to understand what that means.
Okay.
And this is, you're actually reading from a statute there where
yeah,
it says, yeah, can
I'm
you
reading from the, if anyone looks up the New South Wales Anti-Discrimination Board,
yep.
Goes to their homepage, clicks on exemptions for discrimination, and it says that people are heterosexual can be lawfully discriminated against by homosexuals, but it's not the other way around. And now the gay lobby is moving to not exempt religious organizations from the Anti-Discrimination Act, even though they already have the right to sue any charity or any commercial entity owned by a religious organization that came from the Victorian Supreme Court case.
Right.
Of Way Out versus the Way Out Gay Youth Suicide Prevention Charity, who tried to book a sleepover church camp, sleepover event with country kids being brought into the city at the Christian Brethren's Conference Centre in Victoria. And the magistrate deemed that it was not a place of worship. Therefore, it must not discriminate against homosexuals or organisations that promote homosexuality to under 18-year-olds.
Right. So they are exempt from discrimination. In other words, you must not discriminate against them.
And it comes from the United Nations. That religious organisations have the same exemption, places of worship, that is now only, have an exemption as well. But that comes under the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights, freedom of thought and religion. I don't want to get too controversial now, but the same document says men and women, regardless of a list of factors, may marry. It doesn't say men and women may marry. And, you know, if the Greens party, if anyone types Sydney Star Observer, meet your Greens, yep. The Greens party is pushing for this to non-exempt religious organisations. So hypothetically, if a mosque inside a place of worship, which is the next level it's going to,
yes.
was not to provide a gay equal, what the gay lobby in Australia calls equal marriage services, then the trustees of the mosque could be sued. And, you know, there'll be nothing stopping it happening. And there's not really conspiratorial, when I mentioned the other case before,
yeah.
And the fact the gay lobby has got Muslim floats in the Mardi Gras, which you can see in the beginning of next month in Australia.
Right, right. And so, I mean, that is an incredible twisting of the concept of freedom and rights, isn't it? So, I mean, I know we've seen a lot about gay lifestyles being promoted in schools. You know, they have counselors who come around to schools to teach kids about what it's like to be gay and all this kind of stuff, where it's a required part of the syllabus of your study to you know, and you've got to respect it and all this kind of thing, basically forcing the gay ideology or the gay meme to be completely embraced by society. But of course, this is a very inflammatory subject, which gets a lot of people's backs up because, you know, a lot of people, some of the people who listen to this show are gay, I know, right? And a lot of people would be offended if they thought I was discriminating against them. And this is the thing, is that gay people have always had, is that they are the ones that feel that they've been discriminated against. But what you're saying is that with the new powers that some of these lobby groups are having, they want to be able to actively discriminate against other groups, and it's getting to be ridiculous.
Well, it's not. They already have the power to lawfully discriminate. The government says so. And what I'm concerned, I was making a point before, is that under Islamic law, and Islamic law can go as far as Australia when, you know, foreign imams are issuing fatwas, not extremist moderate Muslims, but moderate Muslims believe that doing a gay marriage in a mosque is called subversion of Islam.
Right.
Punishable by death. And this policy is dangerous and can not only make Australia a target for terrorism, and I'm not going to hype that bandwagon, because if you type hate crime and terrorism into Google,
yeah. It
says there's a causal link between hate crimes, 9/11, the London bombings, and that gay police fight terrorism. Now, that's pretty extreme. So anyway, so what happened to me, going back to my case,
sure. Is
not one, but two homosexual, gay and lesbian liaison officers. One listed it. Now, in New South Wales, they don't list who is a gay and lesbian liaison officer on the police website like South Australia and Victoria when they used to have them before they were disbanded in Victoria. And also Washington, D.C. had them, and their website was gllu.org. And Harvard University gave Best Innovation in American Government Award 2006 to having gay apartheid law enforcement officers that must investigate a heterosexual if a homosexual points the finger. Now, that's actually mandating investigative bias. And, you know, we all know about judicial bias, how bad it is to have all white juries. So this interferes with the process of justice. Now, the leader of the gay and lesbian liaison officers in New South Wales, Donna Adney, had told me once, and I respect her because she said she's not gay, and she also says, you know, that, you know, she's just doing her job with a community engagement program where the New South Wales police has advertisements. Call the police station to get to know your local gay and lesbian liaison officer, not to report crime, and on their website. And she said that gay and lesbian liaison officers in their training are told to put their duty to the community and police procedural matters above their allegiances to their gay friends they're encouraged to make. And my case shows that an officer, when confronted with a CCTV alibi that disproved a false allegation. Now, my gay neighbour, who I had no negative contact with before this at all, who arranged for these two gay and lesbian liaison officers, one listed on the MySpace page for 2010 at org.au, and the other one is listed right now on Donna Adney's Facebook page as the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer for Manly. So I had two gay and lesbian liaison officers and a gay neighbour, and I was the minority in this transaction. And also I had someone who had not attended for university, Sydney University, for 12 months on a student visa, facing deportation or expulsion for immigration non-compliance, who had sought the gay neighbour's assistance in her matter. The right. only possible way an illegal immigrant in this situation can stay in the country is to use a loophole. If you marry and you are an illegal immigrant, you're still going to have to face the penalty for which is 3 years or 5 years expulsion from the country. So the only way to circumvent that is to accuse a third party of a crime, get your visa status back in good standing through a criminal justice bridging visa, and then marry to get off that. And that's exactly what happened in my case. And the matter was dealt with in court, and a female magistrate in the interim, one of the interim hearings, said that I had not done any act of violence. So basically someone had done malicious property damage at the scene, and the gay and lesbian liaison officers saw fit not to even investigate it when the allegation was made, and to make up an alternative harebrained different theories of what happened on different documents that contradict each other and have completely different timelines. So two different stories.
Can I just ask, Luke, what exactly were you charged with?
Two counts of common assault that were dismissed.
That were later dismissed.
Yes. And, I'm actually going to be sharing extracts of the police interview and the court case about this to back this up. And if you, it's some parts which I find interesting that don't relate to the case, where the officer said I had no right to a lawyer and other things, which I would like to play with your permission. Is that okay?
It's really up to you.
And I want to. It's only the officer saying
if you're confident
right to a lawyer.
That you're not violating any court orders in doing so, I'm
no court orders.
Not
it's only
going to
it's only
stop
a copyright
you.
Matter, copyright of the Crown, and I believe it's in the public interest. We all know about copyright in the public interest.
All right. Luke, we are going to break. We'll be right back with Truth News Radio Australia. Please stay with us. Really interesting interview we're having today. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. Going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now. They say everything can be replaced. And every distance is not near. So I remember every face. And every man who put me here. Oh, I see my light come shining from the western to the east. Yeah, yeah. Any day now. Any day now. I shall be released. They say welcome back. You're listening to Truth News Radio. It's great to have you aboard today. My guest is Luke McKee, who's talking about some very bizarre forms of discrimination and one might say corruption within the Australian police and legal system, leading to sexual preference discrimination. And I was completely amazed to hear that the police force actually has a gay and lesbian liaison officers whose job is to soften up and massage the cases where gay people are involved to help them in special ways. I mean, that's just an incredibly privileged like sort of technique for one very small minority group in our society. I mean, why not have liaison officers for Scientologists? Why not have liaison officers for Mormons? I mean, it's endless, isn't it? But do continue, please, Luke McKee.
I would like to say that I have no problem with gay and lesbian liaison officers existing or all police getting their politically correct training from the gay lobby. The problem here is gay officers being officers in charge, OIC to use police jargon, of investigating a heterosexual. In my case, a gay proxy is getting special services from police, okay? A person does malicious property damage and then tries to link that malicious property damage to an assault charge against me. The police officer, according to the FOI which I got, which resulted in the crime of doing an FOI, 60C New South Wales Crimes Act, obtain true personal information on a law enforcement officer that incriminates them, the rarest crime in Australia, and Australia's first outlaw motorcycle gang targeted legislation. Now, if you're going to know all about this in more detail, I want to plug two other good radio shows. In fact, this morning they were both speaking to each other on one of their shows. The Vinnie Eastwood Show and Topher's Unpopular View, which I've both been on. If your listeners want to find out more, there's podcasts available, which even include my father talking about what he witnessed happened in another case of 60C Crimes Act being used against an Aboriginal teenager. ABC News came out and made false allegations without the word allegedly in it.
Now, Luke, sorry to interject. I just want to, before we get into another topic, I really want to continue with the story about your particular case with the assault and then the dismissal of the charges. Now, I just want to summarize it for our listeners. You were accused of assaulting a gay person.
Can you please, Luke,
go through again? I'm summarizing it for our listeners so that they can get a clear picture of what's going on. Can you please clarify for me what exactly you were charged with and who the plaintiff was? Was the plaintiff a gay person?
No, the plaintiff was at least bisexual, hopefully heterosexual, ex-spouse that was an illegal immigrant that sought to obtain means to stay in Australia by the only means possible. I shouldn't be saying this. It's a loophole to, if you get a criminal justice bridging visa and marry, you can circumvent expulsion for withstanding document fraud. The person was on a student visa for 12 months. My father and I met officials in New South Wales Immigration Student Compliance Branch that even confirmed when her expulsion was going to take effect. And, of course, my dad can be asked for comment about that at a meeting. That person went to a gay neighbour's property that then got two homosexual officers to come to the scene and investigate me. It's right. Not even conspiratorial because these people are on the public record as being gay and lesbian liaison officers. And further inquiries confirmed the actual sexual preference, which is a crime to know you've been discriminated against because it's a crime to know you've been discriminated against because it's a crime to know a police officer is gay, and that's what an Aboriginal boy in Port Macquarie was also charged for under Section 60C of the New South Wales Crimes Act. And then they have impunity at another level to discriminate these police officers because you can't complain to them to the Anti-Discrimination Board. And I lodged a complaint under the grounds I was a man being discriminated against by a woman because I knew of this loophole when I had a face-to-face meet before putting my complaint in months later right after it happened. And they, in their own wisdom, when I only said the officer was a gay and lesbian liaison officer, they must have confirmed that she was gay, and because she does I don't be explicit now, do I? But because she does things that make her gay.
Indeed.
She can't be prosecuted for a crime against 12 years jail, perverting the course of justice. And I find that, now you can call it reverse discrimination, you can call it positive discrimination. If you say it's not discrimination, then you say the whites in South Africa under apartheid did nothing wrong to blacks. And I know some people in the gay lobby will maintain that view. And if they're going to be like that, then I think they're bigots.
Right. So, again, just to summarise, you were charged on the basis of the neighbour having called the police, the neighbour being gay, the gay police liaison were brought in, and you obviously are saying that that was improper or corrupt in a sense that they were using a special relationship, a special favour that they have with this branch of the police to, at the behest of someone who was doing it simply for the agenda of getting an extension of their bridging visa.
Now, yeah, so what happened, let's make it really simple for your listeners. The matter is dealt with in court, dismissed, and yes. It's not over for me because I lost my life savings and legal fees because an officer couldn't do what she promised to, on an heiress interview, electronically recorded interview of suspect persons, and didn't want to investigate property damage. And then in the FOI against police, which I put online on my Scribd account, and everything I talk about, I will clarify. We on Twitter after the show, on my Twitter ID, which I will discontinue when that there is equal and egalitarian policing policy of the New South Wales Police, and when gays either non-exempt themselves from the Anti-Discrimination Act before doing it to religious organisations, because we don't really want to have gays above God under law. That's going a bit too far, you know. And I will disable this Twitter ID then. It's called Gays Above the Law. And, right. I just want people to be equal. I'm campaigning for gay and heterosexual relations to have laws that don't discriminate against one party or other, because that was a part of apartheid where laws Indeed. Discriminated against black people. And if they keep saying discrimination is wrong, they should. I'm saying to the gay lobby, look, even gay people in your own midst support my cause and have said so on air. And I can play a very short clip of a 1 minute clip of the precursor to that interview on 2SER's Queer Noise. I just want to say to you guys, do you want to be equal spunk or do you? I can joke about it.
Okay. Now, in the second, after this break coming up, you're going to play a clip for us of the interview that was conducted with you by whom?
Kate Howe. She's a gay lesbian liaison officer who has since been promoted to inspector in the air services branch.
Right.
And the other matter which happened involving the FOI, there was another officer named on the 60C search warrant that had taken a death threat in Cantonese to kill my family, sent to my family home. And this person was trying to put me in jail for a visa, and I knew it. And she put on a police report. I didn't want to take the matter any further, which is called a false entry on the public registrar. And I've got audio of myself swearing under oath, the police taking it for a fingerprint examination, and the magistrate believed that. So, you know, I've also got heaps of faxes I sent to the exhibits officer and Sutherland police asking for it. And, where is this original document, this death threat? They said they sent away for fingerprinting. Right after I did the FOI, days before the 60C search warrant, the other officer in
Luke,
question.
Can you just clarify, what is the meaning of FOI?
Freedom of Information. They've actually changed the name of it in New South Wales.
So that was a Freedom of Information request, was it?
Yeah, and that's a crime. And the police tried to raid my house to take it back. And the interview tape, that was what the 60C search warrant was, a search and destroy operation using the country's rarest crime and gang law, motorcycle gang law, that's never used against bikies, only against police whistleblowers. And just recently, this week, I found a third case of it being used from a professional standards officer against another police officer, and they used the American website Just Answer for legal advice. They mentioned the precursor to 60C Crimes Act, 60 brackets, one of the Crimes Act, which was destroyed in the Supreme Court in the case of Meller versus Lowe, listing number 75 for the year 2000. And one year after having their power to put anyone in jail who merely annoys police.
Now, look, we're just about to go to break. Sorry to cut you off, mate. We're just about to go to break. Now, in this interview, you're going to demonstrate some of the discrimination that we've been talking about. So do stay with us. We're going to break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia, talking about discrimination and the gay lobby in Australia. It's quite an interesting topic, so do stay with us. We'll be right back.
Children come running to the truth, 'cause you got to
Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. It's a pleasure to be talking to you today. And I've got a guest on the line who's speaking to us from Vietnam, who's encountered some rather unusual forms of discrimination that relate to the gay lobby, relate to the way in which the police use and individuals use laws that have been set up to, I guess, protect people's rights and to enshrine anti-discrimination, to in fact discriminate against people. And Luke's going to be playing some audio clips for us that highlight some of the problems he's experienced. But I'm going to, first of all, read to you from Section 60C of the Crimes Act 1900, which is, this is a rather peculiar law and one which can certainly be used to intimidate people. Section 60C, obtaining of personal information about law enforcement officers. A person who obtains personal information about a law enforcement officer with the intention of using or permitting the use of the information for the purpose of assaulting, stalking, harassing, intimidating, or otherwise harming the officer as a consequence of or in retaliation for actions undertaken by the law enforcement officer, or because the law enforcement officer is a law enforcement officer, is liable to imprisonment for 5 years. Now, that's a pretty hard sentence to understand. Let me just try and break it down into plain English. If you obtain personal information about a policeman or woman and they deem that it has been for the purpose of assaulting, stalking, harassing, or intimidating, then you can go to prison for 5 years. Of course, it would be very hard to prove that in either case. It seems like one of those very vague laws, the sort of laws that are often used to intimidate people. Now, Luke, just very briefly, can you summarize the way in which you were intimidated by this, the invocation of this law?
Well, I was actually overseas.
Yep.
And I called in to check in with my neighbors who were at the house that featured actually in a movie released in America called Square the Movie. I've actually got the pictures of the film crew there because another matter happened and the police arrested two of my witnesses they rock up to court. And the person who was the police were representing as a victim, couldn't keep himself out of jail before the court date, and it was dismissed. So I caught up for a social call with my old neighbors, and I hear that five detectives had raided my house, one carrying a baseball bat. And so I called up the local court, and I said, look, the police have been to my house. I want to get the search warrant. And they said, no, it hasn't. No warrant. I've been informed no warrant's been executed. And I said, well, how do I know about it? All my neighbours have been have been interrogated as well. And they've also been giving statements to my barrister. So if you don't give it to me, you're in contempt of court. And I got the magistrate to release it. And there it is, my name on a search warrant signed by Detective Sergeant Michael O'Keefe, who's now responsible for investigating death in custody, accusing me of a crime I allegedly did inside a police station 6 months earlier. And then he's saying that my own lawyers are eyewitnesses against me, and I have an affidavit from them saying they've never been to that police station ever with any business related to me. That's called fabrication of probable cause, a crime in itself, this warrant. And the if I was to be sent to Australia and I was to be killed in jail, guess who would investigate my death? The very same man I can put in jail. That's why I'm very afraid of going back to Australia.
But how does this involve Section 60C?
Well, he put 60C on the search warrant as alleged offence and named another officer who's involved with covering up a death threat to my family, so putting a false entry on the public register, a crime against 2 years jail, saying I didn't want to take the matter further. And I'm telling a court it's being sent away for fingerprinting. Got voicemails from the officer in question saying, come pick up the exhibit. Then she tries to bait me into the police station alone after she realised I'd done the FOI and obtained evidence of her crime. And then then the police see me off at the airport on the 2nd of November 2007, and then they swear under oath after the fact I'm in the country, yet more perjury. So this is very bizarre what the police are doing here, and they're using the most exotic law. If you go to tinyurl.com/60c-stats, that's government statistics, unless you can think of an offence with less than two convictions, you've just been talking to the man accused of the rarest crime in Australia. Now, since my case, there's been a spate of it being misused.
Incredible.
And now their favourite one they love now is using the internet with intent to menace.
Oh, intent to menace. Not actually menacing, just intending to. Yeah, yeah.
It's, well, they could use some of this against you, even. If you don't like something the government doesn't like, you're off to jail. If you're unhappy with a police investigation, they're going to say you stalked the police. It just happened to some guy the other day.
Oh, indeed.
I've retreated it, yeah.
Indeed. No, I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for the knock on the door. Now, Luke, you've got some clips you want to play. What's the first one you're going to play for us?
Well, I'm just going to say that, you know, these two officers in question were involved, and anyone can research them and do the same crime I did, Google search crime, and, you know, and look at documents I've put online, you know, how I obtained that, you know, I've been information that supports the fact that I was discriminated against. You know, the officers also deny me the right to have a lawyer and said it's unavailable on the weekend. You can hear them admitting that by their own admission, so it's not a false allegation. And also mentioned that if you've got another 2.5 minutes, I'll play that I had the CCTV alibi. If the alibi was picked up, it would disprove statements that I tried to unsuccessfully FOI in the officer's notebook. If I got the officer's notebook, which would be the false statements from the gay neighbour I saw in custody, when I had a look at a notebook on page 67 that she used just before that, that she used in 2007, and I have my CCTV alibi, which I do, and I have the fact of her promising to pick it up and not taking any action, that's a slam dunk case for pervert the course of justice, maximum sentence, 12 years jail. So for the crime of having evidence of police corruption, I get accused of the country's first bikey outlaw motorcycle gang law. The definition of an outlaw motorcycle gang law, because the law itself doesn't discriminate, is a law put in by a police minister or someone else saying this is to stop alleged outlaw motorcycle gang activities. If anyone looks at the police and other law enforcement officers bill, Crimes Amendment New South Wales 2002, even Lee Rhiannon put a press release out against the law and linked it to her quote, draconian terrorism allegation. But Lee Rhiannon is the one that tried to get gay marriage first in New South Wales, and it appears that she's dropped her own social justice and human rights agenda, because if she was to use my case as a cause celebre to end this law she's against, it would also end the gay police they love so much. So it's a case of gays with guns before a human rights issue of their own admission.
All right. So let's have the clip. Can you just explain what the clip is?
Hey, this is the introduction to the interview. I'll do them one at a time.
Thank you.
Cool. This is an electronically recorded interview between Constable Howe and Luke McKee at Newtown Police Station on Saturday the 12th of May 2007. The time is now 8:21 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Seated opposite myself is Constable Ormsby.
On public record as gay and lesbian liaison officers, and as you know, I've done the crime of taking it further to confirm their sexual preference, because, you know, you're not allowed to know you've been discriminated against, because that's a hate crime, because, you know, these people can do no wrong. Next one, we have inducements for them to do the recorded interview when I try to make a written statement. And I was prepared for them to try and get me for perjury, and they didn't take any further in back then.
Do you agree that you were spoken to by a custody manager before commencing this interview?
I do, but there was a discussion that occurred where it was my preference to write a full statutory declaration before this interview, and I was told if should I not do that, then quote unquote, we will go upstairs and do the charge. So I am, in the interest of getting everything out right away, I am going to proceed with this interview.
That's now, fine, but I'd like to correct you that that's not the case.
Sorry, I'd like to say that it was. I swear on my honour, I'm avoiding stat debt.
Right.
If that is not the case, then I can be charged for perjury.
You're misquoting as to what you just said.
Okay, I swear, I've already wrote it in this document here, and I'm not trying to do any stat or play any games, but this is the truth.
That's fine.
If you would just stop this interview and allow me to write it out before making a determination, a full chronological statement, I will.
Okay.
But that's...
Luke, as we explained to you previously, as the custody manager explained to you previously, you'll be given the opportunity to make a handwritten statement at the end of this interview. You happy with that?
That document I actually wrote in the police station. I waved around in front of the camera. I did witness as an affidavit. So if I'm lying and she's telling, if I'm lying and she's telling the truth, they can prosecute me.
Luke, we're just about to go to break.
Yep.
So please continue with that after the break.
Okay.
A very difficult topic, this one. It's quite complex. I do hope our listeners can understand that this is actually quite an interesting one. but not an easy one to grasp. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. We'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. And just continuing now with our harrowing story from Luke McKee. In regard to the police intimidation, harassment and corrupt dealings. Luke, you were playing there a clip of the audio interview with the police in which you asserted that you were told that if you did not accept or agree to a camera interview, you would be immediately charged. And you were also told that you were not entitled to have a lawyer present during your interrogation. And you attempted to actually say this during your interrogation, and she tried to tell you not to say that. And then you attempted to, reinforce the fact that you actually had a statutory declaration that you had written out to that effect, and then she said you will have an opportunity to make a handwritten statement at the end of the interview. But she seemed very keen not to have it on record that you had been told A, that you would be charged for refusing a video interview, and B, that you were not entitled to a lawyer. Is that
lots of things there. First, only on one count did she dispute it. She actually admits saying I wasn't allowed to have any lawyer, and that's the next clip. And it's very, very relevant because right now in New South Wales, they're trying to take your right to silence away. So you have to tell police, not lawyers, what your alibi is so they can goal seek around it. And in my case, they even withheld 000 call times from the gay neighbours resident that came out in the another court case running parallel to this. Their own alleged victim was saying those 000 calls, and the police say there wasn't in a courtroom. So, they're saying police can really goal seek the prosecution. In my case, this is a matter I got off, and I took it further after I got off, so I never was guilty. Yes. And they made three allegations. Then they said, oh, one third of the allegations is false. Let's keep going. And they realized I had an alibi. For the only allegations of violence were all rescinded when they realized I had an alibi. And they didn't want to allow me, after the case was resolved, to follow up on that. And that's what the 60C prosecution is. You have to be and the Greens, Lee Rhiannon, said that this law will only be used by corrupt police to provide a running cover for their corrupt acts. Labor MP Peter Breen said that New South Wales Police Special Branch would still be in business, and Tim Anderson, framed up with the Hilton bombing, would still be in jail if this law existed 10 years prior. And for those who don't know what New South Wales Police used to have a special branch like England, but it was closed down because of the Hilton bombing case and the fact they were covering up Mike Justice Yeldon, who ran children's charities and was exposed as an infamous pedophile who killed himself.
Right. Okay. Would you like to continue with the next audio clip?
Okay. This is the here's saying I don't have the right to a lawyer. Let me find that. Sister Alibi inducements. Okay. 20-second clip. Nice short one.
Did you understand your rights explained in this document?
I do. I did ask for a lawyer, but I was told no publicly available ones. No public defenders or. Legal aid is New South Wales legal aid is available because it's a weekend.
She said, "Not at this time. Not at this time. You don't have a right to a lawyer." Okay.
Well, it sounds like she's saying none are available. Although, what if you had said, "Well, I'm just going to wait till one becomes available." What would have happened then?
I don't know because, they kept saying, oh, we're not going to charge you if you can help us prove that you're innocent. And that was one of the inducements. And then they charged me anyway. And then based on the same testimony I gave the police, a female magistrate said I had not done an act of violence. And I'll play that clip now. So I'm not a woman beater. I've never done any, you know, this is disgusting, I find, that I get framed up. So an illegal immigrant, the motive is there. I mean, there's no other way that someone can remain in the country short of accusing someone of a crime. The police are the only power, in addition to the immigration minister, who can overrule an immigration decision to let an undesirable stay in the country. So anyway, here's a clip from a female magistrate. It only runs for a minute.
Okay.
This film's exit from the premises. He has explained it as she was hanging on to him, so then he proceeded to, perhaps use a slang term, and bundle her out the door. He said escorted. That was perhaps polite, but certainly it would appear that some force was, on his view, required to get her out of the door, and then because she was putting her hands in the door, he then pushed her hands outside of the door. I don't believe that that could be seen to be an act of violence by Mr. McKee, but rather an attempt to enable him to act freely. He says, and he gave quite detailed evidence about how he had, first of all, pushed her hands out the door, closed the door, deadlocked it, and was behind the door when he saw her shadow banging on the door once and then a second time. Which was with sufficient force to break the glass. I took the evidence that Mr. McKee gave, while certainly that he had some difficulty.
The only allegation of violence is said to be not an act of violence when you have a female magistrate, not two homosexual gay and lesbian liaison officers in charge, who I'm not a psychologist, but I don't think if they have the choice between arresting a fellow homosexual for making a false statement to police, as verified by 000 calls and their own logbook, or will they just drag an innocent man through the court? And they had the litmus test for the gay and lesbian liaison officer program has been done, and this is the result of it. We don't need to. It's all about the officer in charge of investigating. You can have gay police. And the gay officer in question, when I asked why are you in charge, she said, you get what you're given. Now, moving on from this, the original matter has been dealt with. I'm trying to follow up on this matter with the gay neighbour with an FOI. And in the 60C search warrant against me, the officer said that 60C is a stalking law. And the only ever contact I had with her was her baiting me into the police station, and the police can't even work out who was in their own police station when they're trying to. They say that I said abusive comments to her. My father and a medical professional was there, and I very, very carefully chose my words to be ambiguous. And as walking down the steps of Newtown Police Station, this is the whole crux of the Section 60C search warrant against me. All I said was these exact words: if I'm not straight, I'm afraid that if you're not straight, I'm the only straight person in this whole solid affair. At the time, I didn't know anything about a federal police officer girlfriend, which is 60B Crimes Act. It's a sex crime. A police officer does the sex, and you get 5 years jail for the crime of knowing about it, and the prosecution isn't required to prove an intent to do harm whatsoever or any conspiracy, just that you know the information. That's the proof of the offence. All I knew was he was a gay and lesbian liaison officer from the internet. And I said that, and she chased me out of the police station. I just kept walking with my back to her. And I'm the one who's allegedly stalking this officer, and they file the 60C search warrant when I'm on the other side of the planet Earth for my own security in South Korea. Because believe it or not, this whole 60C thing relates to law enforcement officers only, and I was threatened online by Cameron Waterer, a former News Corp employee, who somehow had special knowledge that New South Wales police were going to prosecute me with this law. And it was on my computer the police wanted to steal on the 60C search warrant, a video threat from someone not a police officer threatening me with the country's rarest law and prosecution, how we're going to get you good. And I videotaped it in Linux with Xvidcap, gigabytes of evidence of that threat. Now, this is Australia's first motorcycle gag law being used against a corruption informant, and people outside the police bragging about it going to happen before it does. And you can understand why the government can't have an investigation in my case, because it's clearly police misconduct. And right now, my dad went to a court case last Friday where a man was pled guilty against his will by his lawyer because he had the horrendous crime of having a CCTV alibi from Star City Casino that disproves multiple police statements. And if you go to court and say not guilty with that, police are in big trouble. So the court appearance date was changed by Christopher Murphy's brother, a paralegal, not a lawyer, who sneaks into court and pleads this man, Tarek Nasser, guilty against his will. And as I said, it was dealt with in the Supreme Court, and the officer has been referred to the Police Integrity Commission after 7 years. So this case isn't over, and I want to have the day in court, and I want to have justice, but it's a crime to pursue justice.
Now, Luke, one thing I'm unclear of, I understand the charges were dismissed in your case, so why is there still a problem?
No, they're after me now for using the internet with intent to menace, for exposing what happened in Port Macquarie. It's best described on the Vinnie Eastwood show, and you can see what ABC was saying about the poor Aboriginal boy if you go to tinyurl.com/ABC criminals. I'm wanted for being aware of Deputy Commissioner Catherine Byrne's involvement in this whole sordid affair, who was head of professional standards and was dealing with me personally in 2007 when the complaint began. I'm wanted for basically being upset about being a victim of crime by police, because that's a crime now.
So are you afraid that if you come back to Australia, you'll be arrested?
I'll be put in jail in a country with no death penalty, where lifetime prisoners are not segregated from non-lifetime prisoners. People have died for parking tickets, had been mentally incapacitated through brain injury for parking tickets, okay, in Long Bay Jail. In a country with no death penalty, with nothing to stop a life for killing me, and the man in charge of the investigation is the man I want to prosecute.
Right.
If I was to die in Australia, of course I'm afraid.
So, and your what you could be arrested for is offences under the 60C Crimes Act, is it?
Yeah, or these days I've got a very interesting call with the gay police minister who took my complaint in the ACMA. If I was to play that, they would put me in jail for that as well, because the ACMA said he could be blackmailed by those who knew he was gay. And he's the police minister who takes my complaint against the greatest achievement of the gay and lesbian rights lobby of New South Wales, who also run Amnesty International. That's why they're not helping me and this poor Aboriginal boy
Unfortunately, we have run to the end of the hour. I'm sorry. It's been a really interesting story. I will keep my eye on it. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you.
You're with Truth News Radio Australia. That's the end of the show for this week. We'll see you again next week. Please stay with us. Check out our website. We'll be back, as usual, in 1 week.